So, John Hackstrom, welcome to WBAA. Thanks for talking to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
John Williams has sold out some concerts this week, and I know it's not uncommon for, you know, the Chicago Symphony to sell out, but it's kind of neat to have a composer work with their music, and I know so many greats come through. Jennifer Higdon just had, you know, an incredible low brass concerto, and to have a composer come through, is that special to have John Williams on the podium?
Of course, he's a fantastic musician, of course, and a fantastic composer, and one interesting difference compared to many composers we see is that the audience comes knowing the music that they're going to hear. Usually with a composer who's living, it's very rare that anyone in the audience really knows much about what they're going to hear. In this case, it's sort of an American songbook of sorts, with him having written so many indelible tunes for what people associate with excitement and drama and in movies. And, you know, virtually a single-handed way, you know, brought energy and excitement using the energy of his compositional intelligence. And it's not a secret that he has been able to write in the voices of other composers. And a lot of what you hear in Star Wars and other movie scores sounds very much like Elgar or Holst or Stravinsky, even in some cases, except he sculpts it precisely to the moment of drama in the movie, and then, of course, it also stands on its own. And people have such a great reverence for him, of course, but the music, it's great to see people transformed with the energy of things that they've grown up with in many cases.
I know you might perform a work by Richard Strauss and think of Don Quixote or Till Eulenspiegel, all sorts of characters that come along. And Wagner, you know, was a big person that put in musical characters within their music, that these, you know, sort of light motifs. But as you sort of allude to, that the audience sort of knows the character of Indiana Jones. And I know as a brass player, you know, these are sometimes the most recognizable and, you know, a real part of Superman is, you know, this great trumpet fanfare. When you play these sort of things, do those go through your mind as well?
Oh, sure. Because, you know, just like everyone else, we've seen the movies. And in some cases, there's actually one of the horn players in the CSO started the horn to be able to play the melodies from Star Wars, that he was so taken with the energy of the horn sound on that soundtrack that's literally the reason he began playing the horn. So you do hear a lot. You do, you know, have a sense of your own kind of history with all of these melodies. And of course, John Williams has conducted this, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times. And it's beautiful, you know, it's beautiful music. But what he's also very good at is keeping it fresh. It could become very routine for him. But, you know, part of his artistry is to bring new energy to every performance. And we've seen him, you know, many times over the years. And he always is interested in doing something, you know, energized and something exciting, even though the music is 40 years old in some cases.
I know that you were part of the Lincoln soundtrack, and again, such great collaborations that Williams had with scores. This series of concerts, I know, are being filmed and recorded. When you are performing live and performing for a recording, are there different sort of pressures that come along, or is it always just like, no, I'm trying to do my best?
That's a good question. It depends on what we're for. Of course, the Lincoln soundtrack, we were, you know, laid out very differently, and the microphones were very close, and it was a, you know, a very different kind of environment than just playing concerts in an acoustical, you know, orchestra hall. But I think every musician in the orchestra is always, you know, doing the best they can in the performances and in a recording. It's just a matter of, you know, whether the conductor is hearing what he wants, and the whole thing is working together in a way that is connective for listeners. So you're hearing harp in the background there. I'm sitting backstage at Orchestra Hall, and so I didn't know we were going to get serenaded, but it's I kind of like it. I feel as though I'm, you know, having a sort of a beautiful, elegant kind of soundtrack to our conversation.
Yeah, really. I need to, you know, like ask a flashback question. That one time in Wichita that I guess I'd end asking, as a composer matures, I mean, there are so many great things that we think about Strauss late in life and, you know, George Zell, you know, sort of growing old with the orchestra. John Williams was for such a long time a director of the Boston Pops. So he's not just a composer, but he's a conductor. And I know that I sometimes get a little sentimental thinking, gosh, you know, it's so wonderful to see an artist like this at an age, because he not only has these great scores, but he brings this sort of experience to his music.
Yeah, he knows how to get the best out of the orchestra, and if something's not right, he knows what it is and, you know, what the solutions are. And that is, you know, somewhat unique for someone who's such an accomplished composer to have the utility of, you know, have the remedies. And, of course, the Chicago Symphony is not presenting him with much difficulty in terms of, you know, problems of notes, or it's mostly just balances, and sometimes he'll want something to change the style of something, or he wants a different kind of clarity, or sometimes he'll change his own writing, you know, says, I want that slur, or I want this forte. And so we're not really making a mistake, it's just he's deciding in the moment that he'd like a different kind of sound, and we're able to give it to him. And that feels also very good, that, you know, the person who invented the music is pleased that you're doing it in a way that in right perfectly in sync with his vision. And so it's, you know, it's a great honor to work with him, and really America's most famous, I think, and also successful composer.
It's been really sweet. I know he was down in Indy doing a wonderful benefit with the musicians, and I just saw pictures with Jennifer Higdon. He was in Philly. Is it sort of nice that he's sort of making this circuit? And I know, you know, again, that he, you know, recorded the Lincoln soundtrack and has a, you know, sort of a great return there. But have you heard great things along the way? Or has it been looking forward to having him here in Chicago?
Oh, it's always a treat, yeah. You know, we know it's a treat because he's so good, but also because, you know, that the audience is going to come knowing what they're going to hear, and they're going to value having heard it just the way they want. And so the Chicago Symphony Concert never comes so close to becoming a basketball game than when John Williams is in town, because it literally, people lose control. They just start cheering, and because his music means so much to them. And so if you're, you know, planning to come to the concert, you know, you get an energy of the music, but you also get the energy of the camaraderie and the sort of just the warmth of enjoyment that happens only in a live concert situation, much better than just listening to a soundtrack on your phone or computer. And so it's that much more enjoyable for the musicians because of that.
Well, John, we're glad you took a couple of minutes out to talk to us today.
Yeah, well, it's my pleasure. You're the you're one of the great ambassadors for music in this country. And having known you now for over 30 years, which is actually a fact, that you are not only a handsome man, but you have the greatest hair I think I've ever seen. And for your listeners are, unfortunately, they don't get to see you, but I would urge them to look you up, because you always have the very handsome style of presenting yourself. And I'm sorry we can't, for that reason, I'm sorry we're only on the phone.